We're going as well.
Hey, big noise.
We've had to be so polite.
We are back. We have been quiet. We had to be like mice. Like little bloody church mice scurrying around here. Weren't we quiet?
We were quiet.
We were so quiet.
Scurry, scurry. Apart from the big loud fart you did, Bob.
I couldn't help it.
Well, they had to re-digitise the whole
thing. It's just one of the compromises that goes on here when you're combining Studio 2 with doing
bad
pre-production
food.
And bad food.
Combinations.
And recording happening in the next little booth briefly. And we had to be like church mice. We were very good.
Well, I suppose it's a bit of a conundrum, but your fart went out on air.
I don't know if it went out on air, if it's just simply been preserved for posterity in somebody's promotion.
We had to evacuate the building.
Did we?
Ooh.
It was just you and me in here, mate. It was pretty easy. Hey, do you know that they reckon now that
they could you narrow that they down just a tad?
How about Dr. Thomas O'Connor from Trinity College in Dublin?
There you go. That's narrow.
They.
That's narrow as buggery.
You said narrow. Okay, I've narrowed it. They.
Dr. Thomas fine
Connor.
Point.
Dr. Thomas Connor of Trinity College in Dublin.
What's wrong with your voice? Have you got an astigmatism in your throat or something, Bobbitt?
No, a bit of Judy's cake slipped in there and thing.
You were making funny voice sounds.
I was.
Anyway, tell us what Dr. Bob had to say.
Dr. Tom. Tom Connor of Trinity College. He said that clubbers using ecstasy to keep them dancing through the night may damage their immune systems, while those suffering from depression induced by the drug could be more difficult to treat.
Wow.
That's what he said.
So hang on, ecstasy causes depression?
Yeah. No, he just said that those that are suffering from depression, that's induced by the drug. I thought it was supposed to induce ecstasy.
Yeah, I know, but I think because of the serotonin
it's just,
and all that.
No, it's just a sales thing. Do you reckon you could sell a drug that was called depression?
Yeah, you I could actually. It, I, think you, I think I know a few people that would buy that.
I reckon you could give it a go, couldn't you?
I reckon what you need to do is a bit more marketing on it and call it terminal depression. And I reckon you'd bloody sell truckloads of
shit. I reckon you would too. Anyway.
Feeling happy? Yeah. Take this.
So Dr. Tom.
Feeling good? Have some of this.
Yeah, you look too well. Dr. Tom reckons that ecstasy has potent immunosuppressant qualities, which have the ability to increase an individual's susceptibility to disease.
Mm.
But he also says that this is for people who use ecstasy to keep them dancing through the night. Now, if you're just using it for other reasons, like sex...
You don't use ecstasy for sex, do you? Or do you?
Some people do, yeah.
Do they?
Yeah, they love it.
Can you get a woody on it?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Apparently.
Oh, okay. Good.
So, yeah. So maybe it doesn't affect them like that. Maybe if you're just taking ecstasy and fucking a lot, then it's fine and you won't get depressed because of it. And then your immune system won't get suppressed. It's hard to say. Maybe it does really screw you around.
Well, I reckon it's the same sort of thing as, you know how when you're coming down from acid you get a bit depressed? Or when
you're
taking speed you get depressed afterwards? I think it's because you reach such highs and it depletes all your joy bags.
All your serotonin.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Squeezes out all your joy bags and they're all empty.
I mean,
and
you
then, here you go. And the only thing that'll fix it is another big hit of something. Like they used to say about cocaine.
Yeah, yeah.
Cocaine makes you feel like a new man.
And the first thing a new man feels like...
is another line of cocaine.
Exactly. I mean, that's just how it works.
That's how it works.
So, I mean...
It's addiction, my friend.
It's also called... It's a conservation of energy, too. You just can't keep having good time.
And dancing.
You just can't keep doing it. Like, eventually you have to actually pay the piper for the energy expended.
Well, I had a friend that took dance drugs.
You had a friend?
For 6 days running. He took dance drugs for 6 days running. On the seventh day...
He rested.
No, he had to rest. He had to rest because he's worn his feet down to his ankles.
Yeah, sure.
They were gone.
Totally.
They were gone. There was no feet. There was no feet up to the ankle. It was his ankle.
He got off lightly.
Calloused little ankles.
Yeah. I mean, some people just melt down in this puddle on the floor.
And die.
Before they stop. Yeah. Exactly.
Happens to girls a lot, doesn't it?
No, I don't think it happens to girls more than guys. It's just when the body's ability to regulate its body temperature actually falls by the wayside.
Mm.
When it finds it can no longer keep itself cool, it goes into freak-out mode and tries to do the reverse of what's good for you. And everything goes... and the muscles melt.
Okay. I haven't had much drugs.
Once your muscles melt, they can't be refrozen back into their proper state again. You can imagine, like an ice block. Can you imagine an ice block and trying to get back into the exact shape it used to be?
Easy.
Once it's melted...
Yeah. Easy. Put it back in the mould.
Yeah, I know. We haven't got muscle moulds yet.
And people
don't take freezing that particular word. Don't know. It's one of those things.
I heard that down at the Golem Hotel that there was a whole lot of drinks being spiked.
With what?
With I don't know, Rohypnol and all these other hypnotics
at the,
and things like that.
In Lismore?
That's what I heard. I heard this rumour. So I went down there to try and find out. And I sat there and I went to the toilet, left my drink on the table, came back.
No one slipped drugs in it?
Nothing.
Bastards.
Well, maybe they did, but they didn't work on me.
Bastards.
Why? So anyway, maybe it was don't believe what they
said about the golem. Maybe it was a dress you were wearing.
I wasn't wearing a dress.
Well, that could be the reason. Next time, instead of going in there naked, you could try wearing a dress.
They said something about that. They said you're going to have to leave.
Yeah, I know. A dress might help.
A dress?
A dress and a good shave. Yeah, a bit of lippy. I reckon that you might just get your drink spiked.
I'll just scrawl an address on my back.
Let's not go there. I had some more really interesting drug news. Well, it's not really drug news, but it's following up on what you were saying pretty much. Over in Poland, mate, this hardware store has offered 1 hour in a brothel for any customers who spend more than 10,000 zlotys.
Well, that's only $13.
It's $4,000.
Oh, all right.
So much for you. No wonder you do so well with your rock business. You've got no idea, have you? Those guys over there, they just laugh and laugh. Nah. Yeah, if you spend $4,000 on materials in this guy's hardware store, he will provide you with 1 hour in the local brothel.
Wow.
As an extra, as an incentive.
So what do you have to do when you're there? Like, you just sort of fix things? And
once you've got the gear. I guess so. I guess they're looking for someone who's got all the stuff.
and clean stuff and do the sheets. And is that what you do when you go to the brothel?
It says here, it's a case, if you like, of different strokes for different folks in terms of doing business. Oh. Roman Misako, the owner of the Beepole shop in Elblag in northern Poland, told our man, Nimithem here, he said, the owner of the brothel, and I quote this, came to our shop to buy some paint brushes and paint. I knew immediately what her line of business was, which was house painting, and I talked with her about proposing the special offer, and she agreed.
Mm.
She got her paint and paintbrushes for nothing.
I've always wanted to run a brothel. I don't know if I'd be a good madame, but I'd be a fantastic pimp. You know, because I'm so personable. I'm so polite. You know, you get out in the street. It's so easy to get out in the street.
Can you see yourself?
Want a root? No, not me.
Okay, so after you've picked yourself up, put your teeth back in again.
No, not me.
No, sorry, you fail. You fail.
Yeah, maybe politeness isn't the main thing, maybe the main feature that a pimp needs to be a success, eh?
Politeness, no. Mm. I think today the pimp's gone. I think the girls are doing it for themselves, mate. Sex workers have taken control in a lot of places. They
well, they're trying
control.
To, but it's pretty hard work. There's a lot of heavies out there. And you really on that job, you really need security.
Yeah, well, you can buy security. You don't have to have a pimp. You can get yourself organised and collectivised, and you can have
a heavy sitting down in a little room with a cosh.
No, that's nothing like that at all. They actually have these straight security companies that you see all over the place.
Mm.
They have special security, like high security deals, where they guarantee something like, you know, 2 minutes will be there kicking the door down if it's not open. You know?
Two minutes.
Well, that's about as fast as they can get. From when the button's pushed, and a smart girl will push the button before things get out of control.
Oh. See, two minutes is more than enough time for someone like myself.
Yeah, I know. But she'd push the button as you walked in the door. 2 minutes would be about as long as it would take you to get your sandals.
Tell me, I'd be done and out of there.
Your sandals would be off. The cosh would come down. Boom.
2 minutes?
Yeah.
You're dreaming, Bob. Hey?
Anyway, we're not going there at all. I had a story here, mate. A guy in Victoria recently... He got done for a
I'm not into multiple orgasms.
Aren't you?
No, just the one.
That's fine. That'll do you then. But like, what's his name? Have you heard this guy? Azam Ahmed?
I might have. What does he do?
Sells drugs primarily. Lots of them.
Oh.
Repeatedly.
Oh.
Doesn't seem to learn from his mistakes first time round.
He's been busted.
Again and again.
And again. In which country?
Just again and again. It only took two.
In which country?
In Victoria. Is that a different country? Nearly.
Victoria, that's...
South of the,
that's
the Empire.
That's in Tasmania, isn't it?
Just above.
Okay.
Just above, yeah. A lawyer for the alleged mastermind... It can't be that smart, he's been caught twice. But for the alleged mastermind of one of Victoria's largest known drug operations. So, he's keen. He's a keen man.
Mm.
Has asked the judge to resist any desire to throw away the key. Don't throw it, that key! resist any desire to throw away the key when sentencing his client.
So he wants to hang on to it for safekeeping, doesn't he?
Yeah. Azam has pleaded guilty to a series of trafficking charges relating to two separate ecstasy seizures which involved drugs with a street value of more than $8.5 million. The county court was told that Ahmed had been on parole for the earlier drug offences involving the manufacture and trafficking of more than 150,000 Eki tablets, 3 kilograms of MDMA powder, amphetamines and LSD. He was on bail for that offence when police discovered him doing a deal involving more than 2,000 Eki tablets in August. Look at them both. They're pointing. Oh, we just had the doctors arrived and he's... Gee, you're so polite, mate. You get up, you get the doctor your seat, just like that. Anyway, Ahmed's lawyer, Colin Helitosis, QC...
That wasn't me, by the way.
I know, that was a doctor. He was just letting it out.
He's behave like that.
It's part of the Chinese...
Godass is a polite pimp.
It's part of the Chinese medical regime, Gerald, is the obligatory hello belch. It's the...
Belch? I have my back to the camera.
I know. But the camera's behind you, so it's okay.
Yeah, all right.
Anyway, Ahmed's lawyer agreed that his client's crimes were at the upper end of the criminal scale and that he should be regarded as a serious offender. But, he told the court, Ahmed had been the victim of a drug culture forced on him by his father. Right? This guy's 38. 38 and the biggest drug dealer in Victoria. And he's saying, my dad made me do it. There you go.
No, that's good that there's, you know, still men out there, 38 years old, still listening to their parents.
Respect.
Yeah. He's also been affected by a series of broken marriages and by being personally manipulated.
Oh, well, join the club there, brother. Now, how do you break a marriage?
How do you break a marriage?
With a big hammer.
Usually.
Is that how you do it?
Well, a friend is sometimes necessary to help. If either of the partners gets a friend to help, they can usually break it pretty quick.
Yeah, that's true. That does help a lot.
Anyway, so they've broken the marriage.
To go up and see your wife. That usually ends it pretty quick.
Get your girlfriend to move in with you and your wife. That's pretty good too.
She's just a nanny. She's just...
Just a nanny. Yeah, that'll usually do it. I see here that what happens is his lawyer's actually
like
said...
He's like, for Christ's sake.
Yeah. He's not the type you have to throw away the key for. He's not the type you have to throw away the key for. Isn't that a great line for a lawyer to come up with? He thinks this is the greatest offence he can think of for you, who's been caught red-handed with a zillion dollars worth of Eki twice.
What a great lawyer. It's a serious crime, Your Honour.
It's the worst possible crime.
He's at the top range of the scale.
He's the one. But
try not to throw away the key.
Yeah.
What a terrific lawyer.
We might knock it down to 35 years rather than 40.
Is he one of these lawyers that gets paid only if he's successful? Pro bono? Or does he get paid up front?
Well, I think if they don't throw away the key, he'll consider he's successful and he'll ask for his full lot.
Wow, I would too. And I'd say it would be quite a full lot.
His lawyer is actually asking for a harder penalty than the prosecution's asking for. The prosecution says, hey, we're not going to go throw away the key.
No.
And he's like, don't throw away that key. We'll take anything but the key.
Anything. We'll throw ourselves upon the mercy of the court.
Anything but the key thrown away. Key locked up for a long while, yes.
Give him 10 years, but he's...
The key's sealed in resin and then buried deep in the ground. Anyway, Ahmed, good luck, mate. I don't know what the judge is going to think about the don't throw away the key policy.
Fair enough. And how you going, Bob?
Going good, Doctor. How are you?
Where you been?
Here. Oh. Where you been?
In the dungeon.
I was over there and it was like you were in my ear. I could hear.
I know. Yeah, well, I was in your ear. I've been the voice in your head all the time.
Right. Making the red lights go?
Yeah, look.
All right, okay.
It's fine.
It's like voices in your head.
Andrew?
I've been listening to the show.
No, there's no red lights in this one. This is the old desk. Oh. We've got needles.
Needles are good. You make them so they bend.
Yeah, they're bending. Yeah. They're good.
So where's Baldy? I've been listening to the show.
He pissed off.
He's gone. He's gone to see Gracie's show.
He's gone up to see another show, yes, up at the school. School show, end of term, you know how it goes. He's gone. Good father.
All right, so, me and Mike, no one bothered to get on to bloody the Premier's department or bloody health or whatever.
Lazy again, eh?
Lazy, but, you know, doing some other stuff. No, the Greens. Lee Rhiannon, God bloody love her. God, yeah, bless her. So she's doing a speech and stuff on medical cannabis in Parliament.
When's that?
It'll be early next week. Or
she's giving it early next
week. She's giving it early next week.
Okay.
Maybe later on the day.
Right.
And, but no, she... We'd be trying to get onto it today. She had a meeting last night.
Mm-hmm.
The staff. What was it? Budget estimates thing.
Well...
Can you give us any... Can you give us...
We've now got the Greens and we've got the Labor Liberal Coalition.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
So... Do you have any idea of the gist of Lee's speech that she'll be presenting... When she presents it?
Well, she's basically going back. She's putting the in the speech. She talks about Bob Carr and how he kicked the ball rolling. Some really good quotes from him. Then the Prime Minister's backup to the issue of medical cannabis. He didn't mind as long as it was prescribed. And she talks about what's happening in the UK, in Canada, and in the US. And then she sort of, it comes back to what's going on here in New South Wales, how people here, obviously hearing, you know, the Premier and others talking highly of medical cannabis, what's happening with, you know, she's asking what's going to happen with these people now.
And what sort of answer is she getting?
Don't know.
Who's talking highly of medical cannabis? Our new Premier?
No, the old one did.
Carr.
Just before he jumped out.
Just before he left.
Yeah.
Who's driving the car now? Mrs. Carr.
Yamaha.
Mr. Yamaha.
Mr. Yamaha.
Yimmy.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We still don't know where he stands. We probably should
you
have...
You can guess where he stands. He's right as buggery.
He's sitting.
I guess, as you've all
the
noticed...
politics has gone right. In Australia, there is no left wing anymore.
Yeah.
You've got the Greens, and you've got the rest.
Yeah. I know.
And that
just means they're going to fly around in circles.
Well, yeah.
Pisses me off heaps, because it just... Yeah, I mean, if it's pissing me off, it's obviously pissing a lot of people off.
It pisses us all off.
Well, I mean, it's why we came here. We came here basically years and years and years and years and years ago to drop out, to go and run away and hide from it all and to not be part of the whole thing, and it's caught up with us. There is no escape.
Yeah.
We're trapped like rats in a barrel, and they're shooting us with National Party bullets. It's ugly.
Oh,
it's dark
thing.
Out there.
Yeah, I can see the holes all through you. I can see the daylight shining through.
I'm like a Swiss cheese.
Yeah, I know.
And it's not looking good for New Zealand. I'm worried for New Zealand.
You reckon brash?
Well, Jesus, I hope.
How about Maori Party, balance of power?
Look, Maori Party would be great, but that means that Helen Clark wins. If the Maori Party has a balance of power, Helen Clark wins.
But how about if Maori Party can tell Helen Clark what to do?
No, they can't really, but they can. They will have a little bit of power.
Huge, Clark, unknown surge of support. Maori
Helen's
Party
good.
Gets up on their own right.
Go, Helen.
Go, Maori Party.
Do you know, Helen was one of the main forces behind David Longhi when he was getting the French out of Mooroa Atoll and making New Zealand nuclear free.
Go Helen.
She's got a good heart.
Has she?
And what's the other guy's name?
Brash.
Don't like him.
Oh, hate
nasty.
Brash.
Don't like him.
Bad Brash.
Brash has a rash.
So in the New Zealand Normal magazine, the hemp crew from over there, I was reading in Gerald's personal copy, and it went through the all the different political parties and how they basically, most of them don't really have. Well, the big parties anyway, aren't putting their name to any way. It looks like, except the one. There's one United or something. They're saying we'll
throw out all blacks.
Yeah,
which is a beauty when you consider that there's 20% Maori and another 15% Polynesian over there.
Someone's saying they're going to throw the Maoris out of New Zealand.
If they don't buy a house,
just the blacks. Are Maoris black?
I think they might be. Technically.
No, what is it? They give them 10 years. You either buy a house or claim the land or piss off.
Ooh.
It's basically that. That's what the thing was. 10 years to settle all the land stuff.
Ooh.
Anything after that don't count.
Well, I thought it was settled. They had a treaty. It was called the Treaty of Waitangi, which gave them
that's just a
all
party,
the fish though. In all the seas on all the shorelines around New Zealand.
Yeah.
And all the eels in all the rivers. It gave them heaps. They hammered out. Well, they still got it. It's still working.
Yeah, but wasn't something else didn't have a time thing on it, 100 or 200 years or something?
Yeah, and if you weren't dead by then, we'll come and see us.
No. There was no time limit on the Waitangi Treaty.
They paid for it, though. What was the payment? A dollar or something? A pound?
Whatever.
I don't know. I'm just making it
they
up.
They got ripped off. We all know that.
It was to stop the war. The Maori Wars were incredible. It was very difficult battle to win. It was very unlike here in Australia where all you got to do is poison the water like we did.
Mate, it was so unlike what happened here in Australia that they made certain that my generation knew nothing about it. It was never mentioned. In all of our schooling, I heard no mention of the Maori Wars in New Zealand.
Mm.
In fact, I barely heard mention of New Zealand.
The white colonists were going to remain in New Zealand. They were thinking about coming back here to Australia because they'd already killed pretty much all of the blacks here.
Yeah. Like it was all you heard about. You didn't hear about them killing all the blacks here. You heard about the valiant explorers.
With
Blaxland, Wentworth, Lawson. You heard about Human Hovel, about the guys who walked up north and all died. What are they called?
Burke and Wills.
About Eyre, who walked across the Nullarbor with Jackie Stewart and Sturt into the centre.
Didn't hear a word about the Brown Riders, did you?
You just heard the stories of the valiant Scotsmen and Welshmen that walked off in the middle of summer into the desert with their silly coats on, and they died like flies while mapping bits, you know.
Absolutely.
But nothing real.
Nothing real until you get to the bit in the where you got the column of all the stuff they carried with them and how many tons of arsenic they carried. That was one of their main things, arsenic, bags and sacks of the ship.
Just for clearing the land.
Just for clearing, as they put it, clearing the vermin.
Yeah.
How disgusting.
Yeah.
Anyway, it didn't work in New Zealand because here you can poison the water. There's not that much of it. In New Zealand...
Poison it. Go on, see how long it stays there.
Poison that one. I'm going over to that one.
Yeah, poison this raging torrent.
And it's very steep and rough country. It's very it's gorilla country.
Yeah.
Now the Maoris had them on toast. And what was happening was female settlers weren't coming to New Zealand. The whites weren't breeding. So the only people that were breeding was the whites with the Maoris, and so you were getting... It wasn't working for the whites.
They were outnumbering themselves all over the place.
It wasn't working the way they thought it might.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it wouldn't.
No?
Is this happening again now, you're saying?
Oh, I don't know. I know. They're up on their hind legs, the Maoris over in New Zealand. They want their...
cake, and they want to eat it too.
It's going to come up because one of the big parties there was a Brash said this thing about the 10 years, and I'm sure I heard about that.
This was from Brash himself,
his party. This is what they're talking about.
10 years or get out. Yeah. Get out where? Into a boat and paddle off somewhere.
I don't know about get out, but yeah, you can't claim.
Or shut up.
Yeah, that's it.
Shut up.
10 years.
Oh, no, probably get out. It's Brash.
Okay.
National party. What a pack.
Let's get back down to tin tax, doctor. Hey. Cannabis, New South Wales. What's happening?
Well, nothing.
You guys promised me, faithfully.
Yeah, I know, but we've both got sidetracked doing other things, and you can't, you've got to be in the mood, you've got to...
In the mood to ask them.
Yeah,
anyway, it's all changing. It's all changing.
Sort of know.
That was their brief, Gerald. I gave them a brief last week, guys.
Since that Four Corner show the other night.
Which one?
60 Minutes
show the other night.
Which one?
Sunday.
Marijuana has become illegal.
Since when?
Since I think it was last Sunday.
Last Sunday, the 60 Minutes program was on pot.
Proving that it sends you into a lunatic after two months.
Some scientist, researcher in bloody Sweden, of all places, reckons he found the area of the brain that marijuana
is damaged.
Damages.
Okay, and?
Well, you tear the heads off babies and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Two tokes, you're dangerous. Yeah. Don't put them near the kids.
You're younger.
Bugger me.
Yeah, I mean,
that too.
I didn't watch it, but
that too. You smoke that stuff, it turns you into a raving woofie.
As well as. Is this orphan guy in Sweden?
Well, at least so. Yeah. But they're pretty loose over there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's proven he's found the spot where it's deleterious to the brain.
Yeah.
And everything else.
Yeah. But from what I didn't watch it, but a few people who did, and I've spoken to them, the story sort of centred on, you know, if you're smoking skunk, and skunk, they kept referring to skunk.
30 times stronger than normal marijuana.
Yeah. All
so
the usual
about
crap.
That and, which, I mean, hydroponic, we suppose. And, that point that a lot of them are picking up on, yeah, the younger you smoke, especially the newer stuff, the more likely you're going to have problems.
Okay.
Psychosis.
Yeah, well, look, following this whole thing through, there was a survey last week, came out last week as well, too, that purported to claim that the generation following us guys, Generation X or whatever they call themselves, the 35s, whatever, the next one down...
Me.
You know,
the me generation.
29% favour legalisation of cannabis, and 71% don't favour it.
Mm.
Our generation was 58% in favour of the legalisation of cannabis. So
they're heading to the right.
They've conservatised right up.
Well, that's what's happening.
I spoke to some members of this generation, this next generation, and I said to them, "I'm disappointed." And
do they speak English?
They looked me in the eye, and they, as we all shared a cone, they said, "Man, you think you're disappointed?" They're our generation, you know.
Yeah. But no, it's going right. Yeah. It's definitely going right. And the reason is fear. The reason is fear, and it always is. It works that way.
And who
people
generates
really
the fear?
Concerned about where things
who
are going.
Is generating the fear?
Well, I think us human beings are doing quite well all by ourselves.
Yeah, it's
it made us think. Jesus,
made us think.
Yeah.
Ooh. And so we're kicking peace activists out of the country who are just speaking. We're extraditing seed sellers across the Canadian border and hoping to get a bloody death penalty on them, maybe, if we're lucky. I mean, this is where it's going, isn't it?
Not just there, on all levels. I mean,
on all levels, but right across.
Fear rules.
Yeah.
You have right wing because people are scared, they want to hang on to what they've got, and the best way to do it is to buy a gun, put the bars up, and shoot at anything you don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
We've been putting up with terrorists for 200 years in this.
I believe this is Johnny, the voice of Johnny Bales, and he should know.
Yeah.
Track one on you.
Yeah, okay.
Uh-oh, what have you done now?
Nothing. The phones have started to ring. We're probably in deep shit.
We probably are.
And we don't give a shit. We're just moving right along. It's just about 2 o'clock. Nimmin Aboriginal Broadcasters. Yeah, it is indeed.
We've been there.
You've been blab, blab, blab. Talking away.
And we are out of here now.
What's next? Nothing else has happened.
No, but we are.
I heard a suggestion.
And all that, especially with pots getting harder and harder.
Yeah, I heard a suggestion put forward to me that in response to such things as the DEA and its big sting on Mark Emery and the whole seed trip, like they're charging him with, 60,000 seeds across US borders and blah, 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 that maybe Nimbin as a community could get together and collect 60,000 seeds from somewhere, any kind of seeds, like the THC seeds. Surely Catalanus must have buckets of seeds, hasn't he?
Seeds.
60,000, send them to the DEA with an invoice.
Uh-huh.
With an invoice and send them. And say, maybe. It's a good chance.
It's not offence until they pay, is it?
No.
Excellent.
No. Yes, they have to pay.
Turn yourself in. Oh, yeah, I'm famous. Okay. Yeah. Turn yourself in as a terrorist, as so many people have been doing up in Brisbane and
Sydney.
To be unified with our American friend who they've just thrown out of the country, being a terrorist.
Yeah. The other thing we were thinking about during the week was obviously once they've decided that they're going to have to revoke our citizenship, even though we're Australians, because we're a national... whatever, disgrace, danger.
Wow.
Like they did with that guy and his visa.
Where's that, Nauru?
Nauru. It's the only place left. They're going to have to send us to Nauru. So, get hold of lots of seedlings of trees. Mate, the place has been denuded, but there's still lots of phosphate in the basic soil.
But it's all below sea level, Bob.
Not yet. You've got to take bricks with you, too.
Make a wall, a levee.
Got to build up.
Or maybe a pontoon, something
Yeah. Maybe a pontoon.
A levee.
Water wings. Take your water wings.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody, I would suggest now go out and buy a few sets of water wings.
Yeah.
Get wet.
And practice breathing underwater. I think once we can get back to the ocean, we're sweet.
Yeah.
Okay. The ocean's coming to meet us.
I'm gonna cut some little holes in my neck and see if there'll be gills.
Let me help.
Gills. Are these gills?
Let me help.
Yeah.
See you later, Nimbin.
See ya.
See you later, Nimbin. Here we go.